Cape Talk.
The European Report with Katie McDonald.
The European Report with Katie McDonald, all the way from Budapest, Hungary. Katie, a very good, joyous morning to you. How are you doing today?
I'm very, very well. Very, very well. A little bit cold, but not bad at all. And how about yourself?
Katie, I don't know. Maybe yesterday was just one of those days that, you know, whatever God was looking at me was smiling at me. First, it was raining in Cape Town, so I was happy. And then the High Court in Gauteng, you know, said the president said what we are all expecting the president to do from the first place, that, you know, you can't be the one to appoint the person that's going to be judging a issue or an inquiry that you have a vested interest in. But enough about South Africa. It was just me telling you that I had a good day yesterday, and I think I'm having a good morning so far. You know, so I'm feeling very, very, yeah, I don't know what's the word that I'm looking for. Yes, but nonetheless, yes. Talk to me about Norway.
Yeah, so Norway has become the first country to switch off their FM radio. To switch over to digital. So that's, you know, the digital audio broadcasting, DAB for short. And yeah, yesterday they did their switchover. That's it. Basically, the Norwegian government, they've got all sorts of reasoning for it. It is tech, it's new tech. Other countries are going to be following suit, obviously. But they were also emphasizing that it's a huge cost-cutting measure, especially in a country like Norway. You know, you've got these vast, vast areas and mountainous, you know, areas and things like that. So they say the digital network is going to be much better. People are not happy about it. There's actually a poll that showed that 66% of the population were against it and only 17% in favour. And what happens now, Abs, is that now that they've switched over, there are millions of people that don't actually have the technology to receive the digital signal. So, no radio. Quite a major thing. But they are the first country to have taken that step.
Yeah. Okay. But let's talk about Renault. What's happening over there?
Yeah, look, I think this is one of yours and my sort of shared fears, the whole driverless car scenario. So Renault, as well know, they're one of France's biggest car makers. So they're in the process of acquiring a 40% stake in a newspaper group which publishes magazines, you know, on business and scientific things and research and such. The reasoning for that is that with the advent of driverless cars, people are going to have more time to spend doing other activities while their car is being driven by the computer or however it works. But they're going to work with this group to develop the new content, interesting content, and the technology that goes along with it, so that when you're in your car, you can access your own, you know, personal content that you choose. You can stream it. You can, you know, read up on whatever takes your fancy. And they say this is going to be a brilliant sort of, you know, segue from the car business because of the driverless issue. It's not something that sits well with me. I don't think I'll ever get my mind around driverless cars, let alone sitting and reading while, you know, your car's navigating through the streets. It's a bit worrying. But, yeah, interesting decision.
Well, I suppose we're always going to that sort of world. I mean, you've seen the movies, and usually what the movies are predicting is usually the way we'll be going. You know, everyone wants to, instead of being in a car concentrating in traffic, get an automated system that will just, you know, work the traffic for you. You sleeping at the back of the car instead of spending 1.5 hours from Bellville side to CBD Cape Town, spend that 1.5 hours sleeping in the car. Hey, why not? I see it. Let it happen. Let it happen, Katie. Let it happen. Now, Katie.
Oh, gosh, yes.
What is a McVegan beggar?
I know. Look, you know, the one who sort of, spent most of her student days living on McDonald's and Big Macs, which is not healthy. Well, not healthy if it's the only thing you're having. Yeah, they've now got this vegan burger. So Finland was the country that they chose to trial this vegan burger. And the whole trial proved to be much more popular than they expected. I mean, hugely positive response to these vegan burgers. So on December the 28th, Finland and Sweden are going to be the first two countries to have these permanently on their menu. It's a burger, a vegan burger that they've developed in Sweden. You can imagine they've got to really, well, they have to work at making it palatable. And, yeah, people are happy. People are excited. They love the fact that they can go to their, well, people in those countries, that then go to their McDonald's and get alternatives. One of the reasons, apparently, is that you've got the growing millennial cohort, and a lot of them, well, more and more people are sort of vegetarian or vegan or such. So, yeah, it kind of, I think it's kind of weird. I get what they're doing. But, yeah, Abs, you can fly over to the north and get yourself a vegan burger from McDonald's.
You know, Katie, talking about millennials and, you know, your baby boomers, your Generation X, it's quite interesting how things have changed. You know, the only reason I'm saying this, by the way, I'm by no way making comparisons between what you've just said now and the story that I'm going to tell you. It was just one of those things, because as soon as you mentioned that millennials are starting to get into this groove a little bit more, I just remembered yesterday we were hosting at the last day for Auntie Joan. You remember Auntie Joan? The lady here at Prime Media. Yes, the lady that was the caretaker here at Prime Media. Now, it was a big thing for her yesterday, and it was this a lovely, lovely event where we were saying goodbye to her. But in her parting speech, she said something very interesting, something that, you know, reminded me of my father and how I thought of things and how he thought of things. You know, Auntie Joan said, you know, many people used to come to me when I'm walking around and I'm busy. They used to say, Auntie Joan, why don't you sit down? You're always busy. And then she says, no, I told them I can't just sit down. I'm getting a salary and so I must be busy. And then I thought, I don't think like that. You know, we don't think like that, the younger generation. We think like I'm giving you my time. You must pay me for it. Whereas with the old guard, it is, I'm getting a salary and I need to be busy. Imagine that. It's subtle, but it speaks volumes.
I don't want to sort of, you know, get ageist or whatever, but I am so with Auntie Joan. And I think it's a great attitude. And I think it's the right way to be.
Yeah, but I thought I should mention on that note, you know what, you just mentioned millennials, and I thought, yeah, you know, baby boomers and X's, you know, and Generation X, it's like, I'm getting a salary, and so I must be busy. Nonetheless, Katie, on that note, I must leave you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Have a great weekend.